Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to wrap up today a reflection on the life of St. Peter. Today, the church celebrates the feast of the chair of St. Peter, that is, and we reflect on the call of St. Peter, that unique call that Jesus gave him. The day when Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" asked the apostles, and Peter stepped forward and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Your flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't come to that on your own, but my heavenly Father gave it to you." And then he changed his name, and like he did with Abraham. And he said, "You are Peter," which means rock, in a kepha. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." He said, "To you I'll give the keys of the kingdom. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Real authority. Jesus is handing over the keys to Peter. Peter will be his second. He'll operate under Jesus as his secretary of state or his whatever, right? His second in command, the vicar of Christ, who has unique responsibility as a sign of unity for the church and standing in authority with the other apostles as they govern and teach and pass on the teaching of the church and pass on the traditions they receive from Jesus, the sacraments, the teaching, the whole life of the church. But in our day, friends, they're all being purified, aren't they? Our brothers are being purified. And this is within the plans of divine providence. This is part of God's plan to strengthen, to purify, to encourage. We've been meditating this week on the life of St. Peter, and we saw the highs and the lows of Peter. Just yesterday, we chewed on the denial. We reflected on the denial of Peter, even though Jesus told him he would deny him. Peter said, "Nope, wouldn't happen." Said it twice. "No way, no how. I don't care if everyone else does it. I'm not going to do it. I will never deny you." And then, of course, he denied him three times. And not only that, but it seemed like each denial, Peter ratcheted up more and more in his total radical denial of Jesus. And then it said he wept bitterly. He was reconciled with the Lord. But Peter, as I ended yesterday's program, in that whole experience, had to come to terms with his own utter poverty, his weakness. And friends, this is what we all have to come to terms with. And it was a grace for him. The false self was gone. He couldn't bear up. He couldn't bear the weight of being vicar of Christ on his own strength. He couldn't manage the church and run the church on his own power. In order to really believe that, and therefore in order for him to succeed in the assignment Jesus was giving him, he had to experience his utter weakness. And the false self would have to be crushed. And who he is before the Lord, he'd have to see it in all nakedness and no hiding. And boy, was it writ large for him. But in his brokenness, he was in a place to believe things Jesus taught them and all the apostles communicating on his powers made perfect in our weakness. Jesus told the apostles and others, "The flesh is useless. All your strength, all your natural gifts, I can use them all, but ultimately in this arena, in this realm, they're useless. You have to abide in me or you're not going to bear any fruit. You have to have my life flowing through. You have to be surrendered to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to allow me to guide you. You have to be radically surrendered and obedient. And if you're trusting in yourself, it's not going to work." So Peter understood so well the reality of what happened to him and his brokenness and how weak he actually was. And Peter, in his exhortation in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, this beautiful letter, I'm going to end with chapter 1 of this letter where Peter's vision of reality is revealed, and it's so beautiful and so powerful. But here in chapter 5 and verse 6, Peter's giving some great wisdom that comes, I think, right out of his experience. He said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you." Humble yourself. Peter, in due time, was ultimately exalted. Peter went through, he had to go through, he had to be humbled. He couldn't bear the leadership of being the vicar of Christ, leading the brothers, the apostles themselves also, it says, they all likewise said, they would never deny him. And of course they did. They fled. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Do you think Peter had some anxiety about his own life, about his past? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Have you ever beat yourself up? Isn't it amazing how our past failures can come back to mind in a split second? And the enemy's always there, ready to drive us into the ground, ready to remind us about, yeah, how weak you are. But you know, friends, it's never the Lord when it's filled with condemnation. It's not a problem to remember and to reflect on times we've fallen. In fact, it can be a time of gaining wisdom because you remember, yeah, that's right. I need to trust in God. I need to be more radically abandoned to the Lord. But if there's condemnation in it, it's either Satan who's lying to you and trying to enslave you, or it's your own pride. I mean, I've dealt with this, your own pride, like, I can't believe I did that. Well, guess what? A good priest friend of mine once said, one thing, Peter, you'll never hear from Jesus. You'll never hear him say to you, I can't believe you did that. He knows us well. It says, Scripture says, he knows our frame. He knows our weakness. Problem is, we don't know it. And in my own flesh, in my own pride or whatever, I still want to save myself, and or I want to still live with the illusion of, or the delusion of the false self that emerges in us. Every one of us battles with this. And God was merciful to Peter. And so Peter's saying, cast all those anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Peter learned that Jesus loved him so much and cared about him. He says, be sober, be watchful. Peter didn't stay awake. Remember that night at Gethsemane? He fell asleep. And Jesus said, Peter, you couldn't even be awake. You couldn't watch with me for 1 hour? Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. Peter now knows through the help of the Holy Spirit what we're called to and what's possible in following the footsteps of Jesus. He says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He felt that, right? At the time when he said to Jesus, no, Jesus, don't go to Calvary, essentially, right? When he rebuked Jesus, when Jesus told him the destiny of the Messiah, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Peter knew well, hey guys, let me tell you, Satan's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I know it. He nipped at me. I had moments where I yielded, I fell in my own pride to his deceptions. But Peter says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. Suffering is part and parcel to the whole discipleship gig, to the whole reality of following Jesus. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, the world's going to hate you because it hated me first. Got to take up your cross. Friends, you know, we're living at a time, you know it, when the world is getting more and more offended by God, by the teaching of Jesus, by Jesus' understanding of reality, by the church's teaching about all kinds of things. About what's a man, what's a woman, what's a family, when does life begin, you know, who has the power to take life, who doesn't, all this stuff, and more, right? We're celebrating, the society is celebrating things that Jesus condemns, and society's getting angry at the church. Who do you think you are? You intolerant, hateful people. And look what else is happening. As it gets hotter, as the heat gets turned up, seems like quite a few Catholics, quite a few others who speak the name of Jesus are drifting with the culture because you don't want to take the heat. And we're losing an amazing opportunity to stand with Jesus right now. It's really foolish. It's so unwise. It just reveals insecurity, fear, pride, vanity, inordinate love of self. It reveals fear of men. It reveals just groveling after the world, genuflecting to the world. It's disgusting. But it's in us. That's who we are. That's our weakness. And if we don't see it, we're going to miss the most important things Jesus wants us to do. And we're going to have to appear before the judgment seat of God on it. That's important. And after you have suffered a little while, Peter said, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Now, This is a man who gets it. He's speaking out of his own experience because he was restored, established, and strengthened by the Lord. And he was living in that restoration and in that strength. And so, friends, and Peter said in the earlier chapter 4, just right before, he said, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. You're blessed. That's not what most of us think, right? When people start ridiculing what we believe and the world shows its teeth more and more, we back away from the roaring lion. But don't forget, this is a moment to stand up. Jesus said, you don't have to be afraid of anything, ever, because you're in his hands, because you belong to him. He goes on in this chapter 4, verses, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or a wrongdoer, a mischief maker. Peter says, in the midst of all this trial and suffering, don't fall into habit patterns of sin. He said, yet if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name, let him glorify God. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. That's where we are right now, friends. It's here and it's intensifying. Don't run away from it. Don't be silent. Trust in the Lord. If you stand up in a place that it's appropriate for you to stand up, when voices are standing and trying to draw other believers in the wrong direction about embracing the lies of the culture or whatever, stand up and be heard. Don't be afraid. If men reject you because what you believe they deem is hateful, blessed are you. Peter says, rejoice. Don't run from it. Rejoice in it. And so the beautiful vision of St. Peter, we'll just touch on it here at the beginning of chapter 1 as we close this session in this feast of the chair of St. Peter. We see where Jesus brought Peter. He's writing to the exiles, to brothers and sisters in small communities in northern Asia, I think, or Asia Minor. And this is what Peter calls them. He says, you are chosen and destined by God the Father. He goes right after their identity, right at the beginning of the letter. Who are you? That's what he's answering, a question. He didn't ask him, but he knows they need to know it because they're suffering. They're under persecution and trial. The key thing in the face of suffering is understanding who you are and who God is and the relationship you have with God, that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. So who are you? You're chosen and you're destined. Chosen and destined by God the Father. Number one, and you're sanctified by the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ, for the sprinkling with his blood. What we have here is Peter saying, God the Father's with you. He's the one who's destined you. He's the one who's called you. You're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You're empowered now. You're set apart. You're being made holy by the Holy Spirit. And the blood of Jesus is upon you to set you free from the power of sin and to cleanse you. And he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we've been born anew to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, unfading, and undefiled, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a mouthful. That's a heart. That's the heart of St. Peter, who speaks the truth. It's a heart that's full of love for God and knowledge of who we are. Take some time and read this beautiful letter, friends. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Remember who you are, and don't lose a chance to stand up for Jesus. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.